Eye on the Arctic, Views from the North, I'm Elise Quinn. We today are at part three of our Eye on the Arctic Year in Review. Now, if you've been keeping up with our series, you know this is how we look back at this year's news and events to figure out how they shaped our perception and view of the Arctic in 2014. Now, as you know, we've been checking in with our regular Eye on the Arctic bloggers and experts from around the world, and you see their analysis and opinion on the Eye on the Arctic blog throughout the year. But our review is the time when you get to hear from them directly about what they think mattered most in 2014. And in today, part three, our last edition in the series, we are checking in with Mia Bennett. Now, you'll be familiar with her work. She runs the Cryopolitics blog, which appears regularly on Eye in the Arctic. And she's also a PhD student at the UCLA Department of Geography. And we've reached her today in Los Angeles. Mia Bennett, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm so excited that we get to finish off the year with you in our look back. And we definitely want to get into all the particularities, the things that caught your eye this year. But just to set the scene for our listeners a little bit, if you had to sum up Arctic news, either in terms of what happened or how it was covered in 2014, what would that one word be?
Well, I'd have to say that the word would probably be strained. We've all seen what the fallout from Russia's activities in Ukraine and Crimea and how the U.S. and Europe have responded. And, you know, while it hasn't spilled over to the Arctic to the effect that cooperation has stopped, it has certainly made relations there a lot more strained and difficult.
And, you know, again, you know, each year it seems like we see more and more Arctic headlines in mainstream news, newspapers, broadcasts and websites. But if I were to ask you just to sort of really focus in on what you thought the three most important ones were, tell us what they would be and why.
Sure. I think to continue on just my previous point about the strained relations, probably the number one story has to be the tensions between Russia and the West, and really specifically how those have affected offshore Arctic oil and gas development in Russia. Russia no longer has access to a lot of the U.S. and European technologies that are really needed for this really groundbreaking type of exploration and extraction they're hoping to do on the continental shelf offshore. And without those abilities, you know, it's trying to move forward by itself with domestic technologies or perhaps some assistance from the Asian countries, which are not necessarily affected by these sanctions, but it's going to be difficult for Russia. So I think that's one big story, because up until now, Russia had been the biggest promoter of offshore Arctic oil development.
And okay, so that was number one. Let's go on to your second choice now.
Sure. I think, let's see, just staying within the Russian realm, I would say the drop in traffic along the Northern Sea Route this year came as a shock maybe to a lot of observers. I think the number of vessels has gone from, a transit of the entire route has dropped from somewhere around 40-something last year to perhaps only about 20. I think we're still waiting for official statistics, but it's not looking very good in that regard. And even more severe than the drop in the number of vessels has been the drop in the amount of cargo, which has really been significant.
And now we can move on to the last one, number three.
Sure. So number three, we can finally leave Russia. And I would say that the third most important story has been the political crisis in Greenland and the snap elections that resulted. Probably a lot of people followed the story earlier this year where Aleqa Hammond was, you know, found to be misusing public funds and eventually had to resign from her position as prime minister. And this resulted in some snap elections that were held in November. And incredibly, I think her party, Siumut, they pulled out a very close victory. So it looks like they're going to head up the next coalition. And basically the result is that uranium mining and rare earth mining will stay on the table. And this has been a relief for a lot of foreign investors, I think. So it was a pretty dramatic story this year in Greenland, but I think one that is going to please people who are hoping for Greenland to follow the sort of commodity development route.
All right, so we've looked at some of these sort of stories that made headlines this year. Now, if we go sort of to the other extreme, from your vantage point, what was the story or issue that didn't get the coverage in 2014 that you think it should have?
Sure. I found this one sort of hard to come up with an answer for, just because I think the Arctic is so much more in the news than it has been in recent years, which is great for people talking about the Arctic. But I think maybe one issue could be the fact that there's been a huge drop in the price of oil, and this is going to have a major impact, I think, on Arctic oil development. You know, as I've been just discussing, and as a lot of media discuss, you know, it seems like sanctions and Russia are sort of the main impediment to moving forward with offshore development. But I think it's the price of oil really that's had a it's really straining companies' will to go ahead in the Arctic.
And so now that we've wrapped up 2014, by the time this story goes out, it will be just the beginning of 2015. So what would you tell our listeners and Arctic watchers? What should they be keeping their eye on? And what stories or issues are you really going to be keeping close tabs on as we move into the new year?
Well, I think one major issue that I'm sure many in Canada, but also throughout the Arctic and hopefully around the world will be watching, is going to be the Arctic Council ministerial meeting in Iqaluit, and I think it will be in May. That will really showcase what Canada has done over the past year or past 2 years in the Arctic Council, which I think has really been to promote the issue of economic development for the people of the North. But also Canada, you know, they've done a good job in sort of holding together the Arctic Council despite all of the tension and the strained relations in the Arctic. So that'll be something they'll hopefully showcase unless things really deteriorate further in the next 5 months or so. And following that, I think the U.S. chairmanship of the Arctic Council right after the ministerial concludes, that'll be interesting to watch, especially if they do decide to really bring climate change back to the fore as sort of a priority for their chairmanship. I think sort of in the general realm of events, climate change is going to be dominating a lot of headlines next year. We just had the Lima talks, and now the Paris Climate Summit will be happening at the end of next year. The Pope has just come out saying something on climate change. So I feel like the U.S. will probably push climate change in the Arctic as a major priority, despite some pushback from Alaskan politicians who really want to sort of continue the Canadian pattern of economic development as their sort of main goal. But however the U.S. Decides, I think that'll be interesting to watch.
Well, Mia Bennett, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, Elise.